that's what you
Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you Thursday night, October 12th, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And I welcome you for tuning in. We'll have the phone lines open. Kind of had some difficulty the last few weeks in getting all that worked out, having the phone lines open, but they're open tonight if you want to call. Maybe you've got a question or a comment that you've been holding on to. Maybe not. But the lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And thought we'd talk a little bit. And our Bible reading plan is Jonah today. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about that. There is a lot in the story of Jonah. And I might ask you, we'll answer it later, but what is the story of Jonah about? I want to ask you that. Think about that if you're listening in. What is the story of Jonah about? And we'll let the Bible answer that a little bit later. But beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Fall, summer-like weather. Blue skies. Short sleeve. Well, actually long sleeve and a vest here at the Radio Ranch today. But that's fantastic weather. Let's pray. And we'll get on with the program after that. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day of life. Thank you, Lord, that you let us all wake up this morning. Lord, that you let us wake up after a good night's sleep, however long that was for the remnant and for us. But we thank you, Lord. Thank you for hot coffee and a hot shower and clean clothes and a warm home and healthy family and work to do, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the nourishment we had today. Lord, we don't thank you for these simple things often enough. We many times take just our daily existence, Lord, we take it for granted. Forgive us for that. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for this nation that we live in, this country, this blessed land, Lord, with an eastern sea and a western sea, this land of unwalled villages that you give us, that you have given us, Lord. Forgive us, Father, that we haven't taken care of it the way we should, that our forefathers haven't, that our fathers didn't. Lord, forgive us that we haven't taken care of it the way we should. But Lord, we do thank you for it. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, the sinners that we are, but for loving us, for loving your people, for having a people, and for coming for those people, and offering that sacrifice, becoming a curse for us, so that we don't have to be a curse anymore. Forgiving us and redeeming us, your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Help us to be worthy to be called by your name, following you, trusting you, proclaiming you throughout the land. Help each and every one of us do that, Lord. Help us boldly proclaim that we are followers of Christ, Lord. And let that just reinforce what our actions, what our lives reflect, as we share that with our friends and family and those that we meet and see. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be on the radio tonight, to fellowship with you and with the saints, to offer fellowship out there and to read your word and to look into your word and to apply it to our lives today. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this book of instruction that you give us, that, Lord, you don't leave us, just as Jesus said, just as you said, Lord Jesus, when you left, that you would not leave us alone, and you haven't. And I thank you for that. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and dwell with us tonight. Dwell with me here at the Radio Ranch and with our families and with our, well, with the body of Christ throughout this nation and throughout this land. Be with us tonight. Dwell within us. Open up our minds and our eyes to your word, O Lord, that we may rightly discern your word and rightly apply it today in our lives. Thank you, Father. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be the Christian soldiers we need to be. Help us to be the leaders in this land, Lord. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, help us to not be just retreated up in the mountains, but Lord, help us be there among your people. Help us be as Jonah was, Lord, walking through the sinful city saying, 40 days, 40 days, repent or perish. It is still the same today as it was then. Help each and every one of us do that, Lord, as we are called to do, that it glorifies you. We pray all this in the name above all names, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And amen. And, again, a beautiful evening. Of course, it's dark out right now, but no rain, no snow. That's a beautiful evening here. And no wind. Just a beautiful, calm evening. The stars are out tonight. I don't know if you got to see that star alignment back the end of September. We had it in our newsletter, Volume 5, entitled Signs, and we made mention of it. We had Volume 7 of the newsletter mailed out yesterday in the postal mail, and we're working on the online version. Hopefully get that emailed out to you probably Monday. We pretty much got it run through, but we like to proof it through, make sure it's good, and hopefully we'll get that mailed out to you Monday. If you are not on our Dragon Slayer newsletter list, you need to ask yourselves, why not? Why not? Why not see what kind of stuff those guys are still putting out? Why not? Why not? We don't charge for it. We'd be glad to mail it to you. Of course, it's not free. It costs us. But because of the support of the saints, we can do that. We can mail it out to you. Or we can email it to you. Our email here is preacher@sfaw.org. Again, that's preacher@sfaw.org. And if you'd like that newsletter, you can contact us and I'll email you one and see what you think. I didn't get to see that star alignment that we talked about in the constellation of Virgo and Leo. It's in the evening, it's just beyond the horizon. I can't see it here in the evening. There were a few mornings there around that third, fourth week of September that I was up early, 5 in the morning, and could go out and see. I could see the star, the bright star Regulus. I think that's up in Leo, and could see parts of it. Not an astrologer or not much for really being able to recognize the stars, but that star Regulus was sure bright, and it's still been very bright to the east in the morning. So don't know if you got to see those, but hopefully you did. And hardly a week has gone by that something new has not happened, something catastrophic, from more earthquakes, hurricanes. Had Hurricane Nate rolled up through a third of the country this past week. It's getting a little late for hurricane season, and it didn't do much damage out on the coast as we think of a hurricane, but brought some pretty good rain and pretty good flooding as it kind of angled up and cut across the southeastern United States. Seeing things that we really haven't seen before. And California, if you tuned in to our prayer meeting last night, you heard we prayed a prayer of intercession to stand between the hand of God and those that are His, that are being consumed. Saw a news report today, California wildfires, death toll climbs to 29, and that was early this morning. At least 29 people have died. Hundreds are missing. Had one comment here from, it was from a sheriff. Said the sheriff expects the death toll to climb. Hundreds of people still reported missing. The devastation is enormous, he says. We can't even get into most areas. Until now, the firefighting efforts, this news report says, have been focused on life safety, and I'm familiar with that one, rather than extinguishing the blaze, because the flames were shifting with winds and targeting new communities without warning. Here the communities have seen, oh yeah, there's a little fire that's down the road or over in the next city or over the river and through the woods over there by grandma's house. And then before you know it, poof, it's there. I had a Christian sister call in last night on the prayer chain and gave a story that her cousins there in California got out with their lives. Just got out, and that was it, and lost their home. Hundreds, over 2,500, no, 3,500 homes and businesses have been destroyed. Just think about that, 3,500. This is not a little little bonfire back on the back 40. I saw some numbers here, let me see it. 22 fires spanning over 265 square miles, many completely out of control. It says modern strategic attacks that have kept destruction and death tolls low in recent years just haven't worked against these fires' ferocity. Fire Chief Ken Pimlott Wednesday said it's going to continue to get worse before it gets better. It's in areas north of San Francisco, 45-mile-an-hour gusting winds. It wasn't that long ago, just months ago, Los Angeles County had record-setting fires, worse than anything they've had before. This has been the third costly and the most devastating in California's history. Are you seeing the signs, folks? Are you seeing the signs? Did you see the signs in the heavens? Have you seen the changes that have taken place since the eclipse? Can you sense the outrage of the tares as we see it? We even see the wag the dog with this Weinstein going on. That filth has been going on since the Jews took over Hollywood and created Hollywood. Why does something like that come out now? Well, kind of takes the heat off of Vegas, doesn't it? God says He's got His own heat that's roaring through California. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are in California. We pray that, Lord, there would be repentance and a returning to You, a crying out to You, God, as Jonah cried out to You from the belly of the great fish, a crying out to You, Lord. We cry out to You here. We say, spare Thy people, O Lord, spare Thy people. Lord, we know we have sinned. We know they've sinned in California, Lord, just as we've sinned here, and as it's rampant throughout our land. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Let those that can repent, repent. And that is what we pray for, Lord. We know You don't desire even the death of the wicked. But Your desire is not in there. Your word says You desire for them to come to repentance. So Lord, let our desire, let your desire be ours. Lord, let our desire be yours. That repentance would flow through the land, Lord, greater than this wildfire. That it would turn the hearts back to you while there is still time. That is our prayer, O Lord. We pray it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, phone lines are open tonight, folks. If you want to call in, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call and mention the Bible reading plan. For several years now, we've had a different Bible reading plan. Same Bible, different plans. To hopefully encourage you and provide you with some tools, some encouragement to read your Bible. I know it's an encouragement to me to do that. And reading some of the, they call them, I guess, the minor prophets, Amos and Obadiah and Jonah, Micah, Nahum this week. And get back into the New Testament next week with John and Acts, and then the week after even with Peter and John. And then back to the law with Deuteronomy to finish out the month. And so if you don't have the Bible reading plan, we'll send it to you free of charge. It's not too late to start. And if you've missed days or weeks or months, or if you've caught up, I was looking through some correspondence today and got a letter that said, I'm keeping up with the Bible reading plan. And bless you, sister, for doing that. And when we do that, we are blessed. We are blessed, even if we just start back up. Well, today's Bible reading plan is Jonah. And we've talked about Jonah before. Most people are quite familiar with the Jonah story. And as I asked you earlier, Jonah, what is Jonah a story about? I thought this was kind of interesting as I was looking this up and researching this a little about. And we always say, well, of course, Jonah's a story about, you know, getting swallowed by the whale, right? Jonah and the whale. It's described as a great fish. Who knows what it was? It was a great fish, as the Bible puts it. But well, it's a story about a whale and about Jonah and disobedience and repentance as the people in Nineveh repented and were spared. Well, in the story of Jonah, and it's only a page, not even 2 pages long in my Bible, a page and a half, and when you look at it, the fish is mentioned 4 times in the story of Jonah. So Jonah's partly about a fish. The city of Nineveh is mentioned about 9 times. And so the 120,000 persons who are there that God says that don't know their difference between their right and their left hand. We have many that have not only 120,000, 1,200,000 and 12 million in the land and more that don't know their left from their right when it comes to God. And so the story of Jonah in the book of Jonah, well, it's about Jonah as well. Jonah's mentioned 18 times here. So it's certainly a story of about Jonah. But you know, God is mentioned 38 times in the book of Jonah. And so we have to remember that just as all this Bible is, the book of Jonah is about God. It's about His will. It's about His interaction with His creation. And it shows, I think, a good story of God's heart, of His will, of His mercy, of His grace, of His compassion for His creation. Not only the Israelites, but those that weren't. I've got written in my Bible at the top, Nineveh and Assyrians. See, those of Nineveh were not Israelites. They were part of the other peoples. And they were, boy, when you research it, they were a rough and tough people. They were godless. They were heartless. They were cruel. They were a filthy, sinning people. It says in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And it had. Just like today. Well, not going to get in and read everything about Jonah. I marked one part of his prayer, because that is a prayer that we need to be familiar with. There's several verses that kind of jump out and that we remember, we seem to remember. Verse 6 says, the last part, "But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." And the footnote for pit is from corruption. It's almost like a Lazarus story here. Be kind of hard to survive 3 days underwater, the belly of a great fish. Now Jonah did it. I believe that it is a true story, a true physical story that truly physically happened, because the Word of God said that it did. And it doesn't come back and say, consider this parable. Although the parables could very well all be physically true as well. This is just a writing we have. And so it's something for us to believe. It's something for us to look at and to say, well, don't know how exactly it happened, but it happened. And we need to, I think we need to look at it that way. Jonah, he's told by God, he's called by God. He had a call. And what does he do? He flees. He turns and goes the other way. And then he, of course, meets his great fish. And he prays to God. And God delivers him. Well, then, what's he do? He preaches for God. He warns on God's behalf from what God has told him to do. And then in the end, he learns even more about God. He pouts. He's ready to die. He's not happy with God's will, with what God did. And so there's lessons all in there for us today. Especially because we live in Nineveh. We live in the United States of Nineveh today. The wickedness, the cruelty, the lack of love, the heart of man has certainly grown cold today. So here in this United States of Nineveh, we need the story of Jonah today. We do. We really do. When God goes to Jonah, we realize that God's ways are not always our ways. They weren't Jonah's ways, and many times they aren't our ways either. God gave Jonah something to do, gave him a message that he didn't want to hear, much less obey. He just wanted to go the other way, and he thought he could run away from God. And folks, we cannot run away from God. If we are called, if we are chosen, then it puts it on us. We have to remain faithful. And that is what we should be doing. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. They were a bloodthirsty nation. He wanted to see them destroyed. Many times we pray that as well. We pray that as well. Lord, just wipe them out. Let God kill them all, or just kill them all and let God sort them out, right? As we puff out our chest, and, yeah, hoo-hoo, oh yeah, man. Just let God take care of it. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God desires He desires repentance, to receive His forgiveness, to be redeemed and restored. Well, if that's God's will, shouldn't that be our will as well? Now, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I'm not backing off anything we've ever put out on this ministry. And this New Testament there, what we talked about, 2 Peter 3:9, and God desires repentance. Have a wall hanging up in the front of the office, and it's an old 1800s black and white drawing of David holding up the severed head of Goliath, and the reference from Psalms that says, "Do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord? I hate them with the utmost hatred." These scriptures do not, and this teaching does not contradict each other. We are to have a hatred for God's enemies. The battle is the Lord's, as David said, is if that's what's put in front of us, and there are times that it is. But there's also times that we may have a direct revelation, as Jonah did, that we are to pray, or we are to warn, or we are to go to a people. And the story of Jonah is God going to the Assyrians and telling them to repent. And we know that they did. They repented. It is a great redemption story. It is a story that that shows us God's heart. That it shows us how big His heart is. Yes, He has creatures of instinct created to be destroyed. Absolutely. But at this point in time, He offered this repentance. He offered this, well, it wasn't that He okayed what they were doing, but He gave them the opportunity to repent. And they did. You can read through it. You read through how the king called a fast, and nobody ate or drank, not even the animals. And they had sackcloth and ashes. And that's what they did. That is what they did. I encourage you to read it. It's not, you can read it in 5 minutes. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. When the word reached the king, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. Oh God, let this happen in our nation today. From the lowest to the highest, Lord. Lord, let the halls of Congress ring with the mourning as sackcloth and ashes are put on, and that their hearts are rent for You. Let that come, O Lord. Let there be repentance, that Your people and Your nation would be spared before we are the United States of Nineveh. We are so close today. Verse 9 says, "Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw His burning anger so that we will not perish." Lord, if you do not pull back Your hand, Lord, we certainly will all perish one way or the other. God still calls His people. He still calls each and every one of us. Maybe just to do a certain thing, or give a word of encouragement, or pass a bottle of water out to a homeless person or a beggar on the side of the street. Notice I said a bottle of water, not a $20 bill. But when God calls and God directs and God asks, we should answer. We have to get back in tune with that Holy Spirit. With, "Oh Lord, here am I, Your servant. What is it You want me to do? Where is it You want me to go? Who is it You want me to talk to? What is it You want me to tell them?" Our refusing to obey God, well, that's what brings pain and suffering. That's what brings the long-term consequences. That's what brings, well, not the good times, let me put it that way. And we are not, what's the old saying, man is not an island, no man is an island. When we do things, and we are responsible, especially as men and fathers, we are responsible for our wives and our children and our grandchildren if you have them. And see, there could be consequences there as well. Maybe not just you, but for others as well. When you look at Jonah, you see that he didn't start too well, and it seemed like he didn't finish too well either. Hopefully he learned the lesson there at the end of Jonah. Hopefully he did finish well. We kind of talked about that a few weeks ago. So if nothing else, we can see that he didn't start too well, but he did do what he was called to do. But he still had another lesson to learn. And many times, don't we see that in our own lives? Maybe we finally repented, we finally returned to the God of our fathers, finally gotten our lives in order. But that doesn't mean that's the end. We continually have new lessons to learn. Our Father loves us as sons. We are continually disciplined as a father disciplines his sons. I still get on my 19-year-old. He's still in the house, and I still have to discipline him every now and then because I love him. And we get that from the love of our Father. Well, about halfway through the program tonight, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. I can sit here and talk about Jonah all night long, because what a story it is. Again, you know, God here in verse 2 or chapter 2, God's called Jonah to do something he just doesn't want to do. And sometimes that happens with us. You know, God calls us to do something that's outside of our comfort zone, whether it's to pray on the program or to pray for somebody. To recognize, to have eyes to see and recognize that somebody is in need, whether it's physical or spiritual. And we're better off if we just listen to that call and do, and become doers of the word. You do it a little bit, it gets a little easier. And then you can grow. That is how we grow. We get outside of our comfort zone. Jonah, he wanted to do things his own way. He wanted to go somewhere else. And he had to suffer the consequences of that. You know, each and every one of us have that same decision to make daily. We really do. We can be like Jonah, and maybe we end up in somewhere that is more uncomfortable than we would have been if we would have just done what God said. Or we can do things God's way and get His help and His blessing. He says He'll send the Holy Spirit for us. And when we're doing His will, we have the myriads of angels backing us up as well. As well as the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us, that guides us, that directs us. There, where is it? In Luke, and it says, just pray and I'll give you the words to say that very hour. When we take that step, when David took that step, quickly running toward the giant who had dared to defy and blaspheme the God of Israel. And as David cried out, "The battle is the Lord's," it was. But it was David that picked up that stone. It was David that had been disciplined for years and years, and had been faithful, and had worked towards that point. You know, we may have a Goliath to face now. We may have a Goliath to face tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe we still have a week to get ready. Maybe a month, maybe a year, who knows? But we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Or we can do things our way and stay with the pain and the tough consequences that we have. You know, we have choices. We always talk about the fork in the road and, you know, the road less traveled and that type thing. And, you know, the easy road is often the wrong road for us to take as Christians. The easy road is you don't read about a lot of easy roads, a lot of easy paths in this Bible. The right road, the right choice, will always cost us something. But choosing that right road, choosing to do, to answer the call, whatever it may be, that God puts upon us, it always leads to blessings from God, deliverance from our enemies and from problems we may have already had, and it leads to growth It leads to spiritual growth. When we may be talking with a friend or a family member, and when that person is troubled and concerned and just full of anxiety, this is just one example that happened to me recently. We may be ministering, talking to someone that's just full of anxiety and, oh, just worried and just not, you know, upset. And we should be reminded that we are to cast our cares upon Him. That we don't have to carry those loads. We don't have to be full of anxiety and stress and worry. That we can give those things over to Him. And we should be ready to minister to encourage those that may be around us. As Christians, as the days darken, as there are more of these catastrophes that have happened just weekly, at least since the eclipse. We read, it's not my notes, let me flip over, it's in Luke, see if I can find it. Is it Luke? I think it is, but it says that as these things happen, yes, Luke 21, starting in verse 10. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues. You know, there's a hepatitis A outbreak. Yay, almost a plague going on in San Diego as well. They've had about 20 dead. 600 have been infected. They vaccinated over 22,000. Yeah, there's plagues. Plague in Madagascar from rats. The plague, the bubonic plague, famines, terrors, and great signs from heavens. And then it goes on, talks about persecutions and being brought before kings and governors. Verse 13 says, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. It will lead for an opportunity for your testimony. These things that are happening are doing just that. They are giving us an opportunity. They are presenting and preparing an opportunity for us to tell about Jesus, for us to tell about who He came for, and to tell about His grace and His mercy. Jonah is a story about God, about how great He is and how big His heart is toward us, the prodigal sons and daughters, as we can apply it today, that have turned from Him. And if He offers compassions on the Assyrians this way, how much more for His children? How much more? So Jonah, the story, he disobeys, he's punished. And even in that, we see the mercy of God. We see that it wasn't just one chance and get it right or you're out, buddy. That's it. It's not that way with God. If it was, we'd have been wiped out before the cross. And so when we read the book of Jonah, it should open up our understanding about just how big our God is. And how much grace and mercy our God has for us, His people. We don't always understand the whys and the hows. But we do see that God was controlling all the circumstances. From the ship, to the storm, to the fish. He had all this lined out. He had all this lined out so on October 12th, 2017, we could talk about it and we could learn from it and we could apply what happened then to our lives today. Do we have fishes today? Certainly we do. Do we find ourselves in predicaments where we because we haven't made the right choices, that we're in a pickle? We're in a mess? Yeah, I think we do today. I think that's pretty aptly describes how this whole nation is today. When Jonah found himself in that place, he prayed. He says in chapter 2 of Jonah, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol. You heard my voice. And like we read before, you have brought up my life from the pit. Verse 7 says, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. See, does it make you wonder that would God have spared Jonah or just brought up somebody else if Jonah had not cried out? But he says, while I was fainting away, while I was dying, I remembered the Lord and prayed, and you heard me. Now, I don't encourage you to wait till then to start praying. You need to store them up now. You need to get that relationship with God right now. You need to cut sin out of your life. And sin is not just what's displeasing to God, but it is transgression of His law. And if you have it in your life, you need to cut it out. You need to repent, and you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to help you overcome whatever that sin is. And if you haven't been baptized, fully immersed in water for the remission of your sins properly, then you need to do that if you're serious about being a Christian. If you want to be a true follower of Christ, a true believer. God answered Jonah's prayers. And many times God chooses to answer our prayers in ways that we would never ask for, but that often bring about a much greater good. Many times we ask, oh Lord, if you would just give me, if you would just do this, if you would just do this, we'll call it A. If you'll just do this A, if you, you know, whether it's a healing, whether it's a job, whether it's finances, whether it's to grow closer to Him, or to friends or family, whatever it is, many times we ask that. And if we will be faithful in that, He will answer. And so many times He answers in such great ways that we can't even comprehend it. We couldn't comprehend it enough to ask for Him to answer it that way. But He does. And when He answers our prayers, let us submit to His ways, because He knows what's best. He knows what's best. In the story of Jonah, He tells Jonah, go and prophesy against him. You know, maybe God Himself, I don't think God was, but I think it's surprising. It was sure surprising to Jonah that these vile, filthy sinners repented. Didn't go over too well with Jonah. But it was what God did. We have to remember, our God is just. He is holy. But His ways are above our ways. His ways are so far above the most righteous, baptized, repentant, Holy Spirit-led Christian today, which is far and above me. But the most holy one out there, short of Jesus Christ, God's ways are so far above His, so far above our thoughts, our ways, that sometimes we are like those described in Nineveh, not knowing the difference between our right and left hand when it comes to God's grace, when it comes to the depths of His mercy. God is just, and certainly He is holy, and what He does, we have to remember that what He does is right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But He is also merciful, and He forgave us our sin when we repented. And when there is repentance, there's forgiveness. We see that. Hey, phone line's ringing. Let's head over there. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi. Joe called in about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was too late to call after that, but I've been waiting for him to call in. I wanted to catch some night when he was listening, because he talked about the difficulty making it through some of Paul's letters and understanding them. And I thought, he's been reading my mail, you know. I mean, some of that stuff's like 40 miles of bad road.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's tight, valuable, meaningful, remarkable stuff.
It is.
When you finally grasp it.
It is.
But anyway, I got, some years ago, I got a living Bible, And I don't know, I got it for a buck or something at a book sale or something.
Right.
I've got another one I bought, Good News Bible or something like that.
Right.
This Living Bible, I kind of went through Romans in that kind of briefly. And then you have to look at, you have to go back to a real Bible to make sure.
Right.
You know, they tend to leave things out. And,
yes, you do.
You know, change the meanings of things. But you have to go back to a real Bible. But just to get the overall thing, okay, here I am in chapter 12, and that's what he's talking about here, and just to get a picture of the outline of it, and it's been great for going through Paul's letters. And I've also got, just recently, I got something called a Bible summary. This guy tweeted one chapter of the Bible every day for 3.5 years. Till he was done. And you know, there's a limit in characters.
Sure.
And so it's, for example, going through Isaiah. I mean, I used to go through that, and where am I? By the time I get to about chapter 40 or so, I forget my name, much less what was in chapter 10. You know, but looking at that outline, then you can go and read a couple chapters at a time and kind of see where he's going. You know, he's got the beginning stuff.
Sure.
And the stuff in the middle of all the nations he's going to clobber in groups of 2 or 3 chapters, and then, you know, then some history, and then when you go into Isaiah, you kind of know where you are, and it means something. You know, but this book's called A Bible Summary.
Yes, I've seen some like that, and I know what you mean. I've got a Bible here in front of me. It's by Tyndale. It's a New Living Translation. It's called Every Man's Bible, and it has some interesting points in it. You know, we just, and I know you don't, and I just want to mention to the remnant out there that we these aren't substitutions for the Bible. They're additions.
No, no,
and,
by any
and
means.
Not even an addition to the Bible, but another translation. You know, I was looking at the Septuagint today, and it talks about how the Septuagint is not really a translation. It's just a taking of from the Greek that was, you know, that was written in that before the time of Christ. The Old Testament written in this and the before the time of Christ might have been translated then, but since that time, it's just gone from language to language. So it's not really like a King James or New American Standard or New Living or English Standard type of translation. And they're tools. And what a blessing that we have these tools to be able to look at and, like you said, to see these Bible summaries so we can...
Well, there helps. There helps.
Helps.
What I did say was...
Is what we want.
They're not
right.
A substitute.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You got to go to a real Bible at some point.
Yes.
But they allow you to get a kind of a more of a bird's eye view of it without hacking through the details. And then when you go in and you read word for word in, you know, a King James and New American Standard or something like that, anything but an NIV.
Yes.
Then it means something because you know where you are. Oh,
amen.
I'm here right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what went before, and it's fresh in your mind, and you know what comes after.
Yep. Amen.
But,
well, appreciate it. We're about out of time.
Sure.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Have a blessed evening.
Sure. You
All
too.
Right.
Good night.
Guys, we do have just a couple minutes left, and absolutely, I agree with our brother there. I like to use helps. I need all the help I can get, and those Bible helps are good things. They are, but again, they're not substitutions. We talk a lot about the Cliff Notes that just give you an overview. And like our brother said, you can get a good overview, but it's just meant to help when you go back and reread and study. So the story of Jonah, we can all learn from it. Here as we're wrapping up, don't run from your calling. You know, your calling may be just to get up and go to work tomorrow. Your calling may be to smile. Your calling may be to use a little better tone of voice. Maybe to be a little more Christ-like in your life. Whatever calling you have, whatever Nineveh you're called to go to, okay? Trust in the Lord that He will direct your path and see you through it, because He will. He always has. He never calls and asks something of someone or puts a challenge in front of someone that He doesn't provide the way to get through it. He doesn't provide the help to get through it. God had a bigger plan than what Jonah could see. It talks about the 120,000. Read about it. That 120,000 persons who don't know the difference between the right and left hand, God wanted repentance. They repented. Now, you read a little bit further, and some other, my understanding is Nineveh was destroyed just like 100 years later. See, it wasn't lasting. But for that generation of Assyrians that lived in Nineveh, because they repented and turned to the Lord, they lived. They were saved. There was a bigger plan there. You know, in the story of Gideon, God had a bigger plan than Gideon could see. With Ananias and Saul, we've talked about them before. You know, Ananias had to go to this evil man Saul and put God's healing on him, because God had a plan. God had a bigger plan than what these people could see. Well, guess what? God has a bigger plan than we see at the time. But if we remain faithful, we do our best, we say our prayers, we do our best to stay on the straight and narrow, we'll be a good, positive part of that plan, whatever it is. Your plan and my plan are different plans. But we want them to be God's plans. We talk about His will is better than ours, His ways are higher, His thoughts are better. Well, I guess we're about out of time. That's about all I got. I got more pages and notes, but we'll call that an evening. How about that? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the call. And we encourage you, read your Bible. Going to be Micah tomorrow, Nahum Saturday, and then in the New Testament for a couple weeks after that. So we encourage you to read your Bible. If you need a Bible reading plan or a newsletter, contact us, preacher@sfaw.org, and we'll get it right out to you. And, hey, join us. Come back. We'll talk to you again Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And hopefully you join us. Join us for coffee. We'd sure enjoy having fellowship with you. Well, thanks. I like the song. We're going to go out with it. God bless all those that are His.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.